Lecture topic, honor and responsibility of the Hafiz.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. وقال تعالى: ذلكم بما كنتم تفرحون في الأرض بغير الحق وبما كنتم تمرحون، ادخلوا أبواب جهنم خالدين فيها فبئس مثوى المتكبرين. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, what is the virtue of the completion of the Quran and what is the honor of the completion of the Quran? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma used to say, النَّاسُ مِنْ جِهَةِ التَّمْثِيلِ أَنْكَاءُ أَبُوهُمْ آدَمُ وَالْأُمُّ حَوَّاءُ نَفْسٌ كَنَفْسٍ وَأَرْوَاحٌ مُشَاكَلَةٌ وَأَعْظَمٌ خُلِقَتْ فِيهِمْ وَأَعْضَاءُ فَإِنْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ مِنْ أَصْلِهِمْ حَسَبٌ يُفَاخِرُونَ بِهِ فَالطِّينُ وَالْمَاءُ مَا الْفَضْلُ إِلَّا لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ مَا الْفَضْلُ إِلَّا لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. He said, النَّاسُ مِنْ جِهَةِ التَّمْثِيلِ أَنْكَاءُ. The two young boys that will be graduating, if we analyze them from a body composition to anyone around them, there's no difference. In fact, I will have to tell you who's the boy graduating, because mashallah, all are clad in this beautiful attire and all have the sunnat and this beautiful glow on them. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, النَّاسُ مِنْ جِهَةِ التَّمْثِيلِ أَنْكَاءُ. There's no difference. نَفْسٌ كَنَفْسٍ وَأَرْوَاحٌ مُشَاكَلَةٌ وَأَعْضَمٌ خُلِقَتْ فِيهِمْ وَأَعْضَاءُ. It's a composition of a heart, of bones, of flesh, of blood, etc. There's no difference. The anatomy of this child versus the anatomy of another child is the same. فَإِنْ يَكُنْ لَهُمْ مِنْ أَصْلِهِمْ حَسَبٌ يُفَاخِرُونَ بِهِ فَالطِّينُ وَالْمَاءُ. If you want to boast on the grounds of your origin, then surely it's water and soil and there's nothing to be proud about. مَا الْفَضْلُ إِلَّا لِأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. If virtue and merit and excellency goes to anyone, then it is those whom Allah has favored with committing the Quran to memory. This is the great honor. Uwaiqis Makhzumi rahimahullah was a boy who didn't have much physical beauty, but he pursued the sciences of Islam. In Nafhatul Arab on page 212, this is mentioned that he then became the judge of Makkah. He became the judge of Makkah. So somebody asked him, walk us through this honor that came in your lap. He said, my mother one day sat me down, and if only the mothers of today can sit the children down like this. You know, a child, a young boy once asked his mother, Mom, when will I know I found the right girl? Mom, when will I know I found the right girl? And the mom was like, my son, don't worry about finding the right girl, become the right boy. Mom, when will I know I found the right woman? Don't worry about locating the right woman, my son. Become the right boy. Allama Rumi rahmatullah used to say, yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm wise, so I'm changing myself. Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm wise. Somebody said in the English language, be the change you want to see in others. Be the change. I wish our ulama are like this. I wish our trustees are like this. I wish... How about you, my brother? How about you? Have I effected the changes I'm supposed to effect in my life? So his mother said to him, عَلَيْكَ بِالدِّينِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهِ الْخَسِيسَ وَيُتِمُّ بِهِ النَّقِيسَ فَنَفَعَنِي اللَّهُ بِكَلَامِهَا فَوُلِّيتُ الْقَضَى. My mother said, listen to me, oh my boy. Pursue the sciences of deen and become a true ambassador of deen. Why? By virtue of deen, Allah will perfect the defected and elevate the downtrodden. That hit home, and today Allah has made me the judge of Makkah Mukarramah. What an honor. It is the 97th year of Hijrah. It is the month of Hajj. The Kaaba is overflowing with people. وَهَذَا الْبَيْتُ الْعَتِيقِ يَمُوجُ بِالْوَافِدِينَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ مُشَاتًا وَرُكْبَانًا شُيُوخًا وَشُبَّانًا رِجَالًا وَنِسَاءً. It's jam-packed, overflowing.
فيهم الأسود والأبيض والعربي والعجمي والسيد والمسود. There's rulers, there's subjects, there's prominent, there's simple, there's elite, there's humble people. لقد قدموا جميعا على ملك الناس مخبتين راجين ملمين. All coming to pay their respects and perform the circumambulation of the Kaaba. And in this entire crowd is Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, who's Khalifatul Muslimin, أعظم ملوك الأرض, one of the great rulers, monarchs and emperors of his time. So with him are his two sons that are with also as well, that have come to offer the tawaf of the Kaaba. So as they make in tawaf, the Khalifatul Muslimin asks one of the people, أين صاحبكم? Where is the sheikh? Where is the imam? And his reference and inference was to Ata ibn Abi Rabah. Ata ibn Abi Rabah. So he said, إِنَّهُ هُنَاكَ يُصَلِّي. He is there in the side of the Kaaba, he's performing salah. And really, brothers, I often say, VIP is when you get VIP in the court of Allah. If you get VIP at any haram place, that's not a VIP. Because you weren't supposed to be there, leave alone get any additional hospitality there. You weren't supposed to be there. So you walk into a club, you walk into, you have a personal relation with a DJ, you walk into a concert, you walk into some other festival, that is no achievement, that is no authority. Here's the king of the time. And that's what I want to impress upon these young boys. I swear by Allah, if you take deen seriously, the honor Allah will give you, you will break through every form of dishonor that ever was on your name. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, رَأَيْتُ الْعِلْمَ صَاحِبُهُ كَرِيمٌ وَلَوْ وَلَدَتْهُ آبَاءٌ لِآمٌ. I seen the one who acquired knowledge, he became the most honorable, even if he had no social standing in society. لَا تَتْرُكِ التَّقْوَى اتِّكَالًا عَلَى النَّسَبِ فَقَدْ رَفَعَ الْإِسْلَامُ سَلْمَانَ فَارِسٍ وَقَدْ وَضَعَ الشِّرْكُ الشَّرِيفَ أَبَا لَهْبٍ. The Arabic poet said, don't abandon piety, relying on the financial standing of your family. Relying on the nobility. I come from a big family. We're big boys. We've been in the game for the last century. So I can't fall. And if I fall, I don't fall hard. Take out that perception. I'm insulated. I'm inoculated. I'm fortified. I got a lot of cushions around me. No. Nobody has cushions around him, my brother. Those that have climbed have fallen. لا تترك التقوى. Don't forsake piety. اتكالا على النسب. I've got it done. Why? فقد رفع الإسلام سلمان فارس. Islam honored the Persian Salman. وقد وضع الشرك الشريف أبا لهب. And polytheism and disbelief dishonored the honorable Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab's actual name was Abdul Uzza, the uncle of Nabi alayhi salam. He was known as Abu Lahab because he had red cheeks. So there was this twinge of reddish complexion on his cheeks, which was perceived to be as great beauty by the Arabs. So his pet name was symbolic to his beauty. You know, the blue-eyed boy. He might not have blue eyes, but meaning everybody likes him. The blonde man, but he might not have blonde hair. But you know what? He's the envy of the woman. He's the envy of the community. He was known as Abu Lahab, speaking about his beauty. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullah alayhi writes in Tafsir Uthmani, Allah preserved his name with a different motivation. So when Allah referred to his condemnation in the Quran, Allah didn't say Abdul Uzza, Allah said Abu Lahab. Allah preserved that very honorable title. But the motivation behind the title is different. Now you are the father of flames, which was his pet name, not because the reddish complexion, but because of the blazing flames of hell. إِنَّهَا تَرْمِي بِشَرَرٍ كَالْقَصْرِ كَأَنَّهُ جِمَالَةٌ صُفْرٌ. We see these crackers and all these things, and may Allah save us, and we are going through a festive season. And that's the ayat al-kareemah I read, and Allah put it in my mind. We are having a happy occasion here today. And many simultaneously are also having happy occasions. Some are partying, some are clubbing, some are having this buzz, some are having that dining, some are having all the rest of it. The Quran calls us to rejoice certain occasions and avoid rejoicing certain occasions. So regarding this occasion, Allah said, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. This is something you must be happy about. And Allah approves this joy. And there can be no better happy occasion than I'm happy, my wife is happy, the buzz is happy, the ambiance is great, and to crown it, my Allah is happy. How often we have these happy occasions and we're trying to keep everyone happy and excited. Come and it's an engagement. Be happy about it. How can you possibly secure happiness when Allah is angry with the occasion? How can you possibly have this overwhelming, you want all to go well, there must be no glitches, no hiccups, everything. Why? We've incurred the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we cannot have that happiness. And that was why the Quran said, ذَلِكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَفْرَحُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. You rejoiced unjustifiably. Allah didn't approve that happiness. Allah didn't condone it. Allah didn't authorize it. Allah didn't sanction it. And again, if you do basic Arabic, dissect it here, Allah said, you rejoiced unjustifiably. Allah didn't condemn the rejoicing, because there is a permissible rejoicing. But then Allah condemned the boasting, وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَمْرَحُونَ, because in Islam there is no boasting. Anyway, coming back to what I was saying. So here is this Khalifa here, Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, with him are his sons. And they come, he asks, where is he? He says, there he's performing salah. فَاتَّجَهَ الْخَلِيفَ وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِ وَلَدَاهُ. The Khalifa makes his movement, he's the king, with him are his two sons. And this again we learn something, brothers. You know, as children, may Allah reward my parents, and perhaps many of us will identify, there were often our parents took us to meet certain great luminaries. And as a child, you towed the line because your father told me. I mean, I still cherish, I was a young boy when Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayhi came to our shores, but I have a vivid memory, I was 7 or 8, and my dad took me and we stood in the queue, and we just touched hands with him. But it's indelible, it's a rich memory, and it will live with me. How often do we take our children to meet the pious? How often do we connect them? These are things that will bounce back in their life. These are things that will energize them and empower them in the later part of the life. So these two young boys, وَهُمَا غُلَامَانِ كَطَلْعَةِ الْبَدْرِ بَهَاءً وَرُوَاءً وَأَكْمَامِ الْوَرْضِ نَظَارَةً وَطِيبًا. And you know, glowing, beautiful, awesome, great, wonderful, amazing, mesmerizing. Anybody looks at them, these are amazing lads. So they're very much excited. My father is the man. He's got the muscle, he's got the pull, he's got the political clout. And my father wants to meet someone, and he's like, you know, tiptoeing and being sensitive to meeting this man. This man must be someone really, really great. وَهَمَّ رِجَالُ الْحَاشِيَةِ بِأَنْ يَتْبَعُوا الْخَلِيفَةِ وَيَفْسَحُوا الْتَّرِيقِ. So here comes the entourage, here comes the cabinet, and they're trying to shuffle and move people. Please, please, please. So the king says, فَثَنَاهُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ وَقَالْ هَذَا مَقَامٌ يَسْتَوِي فِيهِ الْمُلُوكُ وَالسُّوقَ وَلَا يَفْضُلُ أَحَدٌ أَحَدًا إِلَّا بِالْقُبُولِ وَالتَّقْوَى. Listen, you can blow your sirens and you can sound your alarms if I'm on the traffic and I'm on the road. But at the Kaaba here, nobody does. Everyone is equal. You don't blow your sirens here. And you don't pump your horns here. My brother, this is the house of Allah. So I will toe the line, he's bareheaded, hafi al-qadamain, he's got no feet on, he's got no shoes on, sha'nuhu fi dhalika kabaqiyyati ra'a. Just like the general people, he's clad in a simple thing. The children's anxiety is piercing through the roof. Who's this man? Who's this man? Finally, they sit down. فَجَلَسِ بِهِ حَيْثُ انْتَهَى بِهِ الْمَجْلِسِ. Wherever you can get a seat, sit down. The leader, the imam, is performing salah. And the children are itching and they jump in like, who's this man? وَطَفِقَ الْفَتَيَانِ الْقُرَشِيَّانِ يَتَأَمَّلَانِ ذَاكَ الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي قَصَدَهُ خَلِيفَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is he? When he completes his prayer and he makes his presence and he makes his presentation, فَإِذَا هُوَ رَجُلٌ حَبَشِيٌّ مُفَلْفَلُ الشَّعْرِ أَفْطَسُ الْأَنْفِ إِذَا جَلَسَ بَدَاكَ الْغُرَابِ الْأَسْوَدِ. When you look at him at a distance, he's a dark-skinned person with curled hair, who lacks physical beauty, who doesn't have much in his appearance. So they were even more amazed to say, Dad, is this the man? Is this the man we've come for? He said, listen, my children, this is the successor of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. 20 years this man devoted to Masjid al-Haram. This is the honor Allah had given him. Salma ibn Kuhail used to say, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا يُرِيدُ بِالْعِلْمِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ غَيْرَ هَؤُلَاءِ الثَّلَاثَةِ عَطَاءٌ وَطَاؤُسٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. Three people I can vow, when they took up the sciences of Islam, then they took it up with the right motivation, and that was, one amongst them was Ata ibn Abi Rabah. The point I'm saying to my young boy, Allah has given you this deen, this is the true sense of honor. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, لو أن أهل العلم صانوا علمهم وبذلوه لأهله لسادوا به أهل زمانهم. If you take this Quran to heart, surely you will rule and govern over everyone. Now let me share with you one, two examples and then direct to them and elevate it to the general people as well. The Quran's beauty is beyond our comprehension. Whether we understand or not, قَدْ تُنْكِرُ الْعَيْنُ ذَوْءَ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ رَمَدِي وَيُنْكِرُ الْفَمُ طَعْمَ الْمَاءِ مِنْ سَقْمِي. The poet said, sometimes the defect in your eye will deny you the beauty of the Quran. Or sometimes the defect in your taste buds will make you lose pleasure in the most scrumptious and tantalizing of meals. So the Quran has its beauty. If I am not connected to it, surely I've lost my taste buds. There's something wrong with me. Somebody said, لَيْتَ شِعْرِي أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَدْرَكْ مَنْ فَاتَهُ الْعِلْمُ وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ فَاتَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ الْعِلْمَ. Say to me, oh my brother, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَدْرَكْ. What have you achieved if you haven't memorized one chapter of the Quran? And my young boy, now that Allah has given you the Quran, what have you lost out in life? What do you lack? In Hayatul Sahaba, in Kitabul Ilm, there is a narration. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting, and they come, they see, they converge around this person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who's this person? They said, Allama. He's a Allama. He knows it all. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what does he know? He said, أَعْلَمُ بِأَنْسَابِ الْعَرَبِ. He knows the genealogy, he knows the ancestry, and that was still good, it was Arab, you were entertaining ties, relations, etc. But today the youth are congregating and converging over someone who has the latest score, who is updated, who is abreast with the latest developments and happenings on the field and in celebrities. Nabi alayhi salam said, هَذَا عِلْمٌ لَا يَنْفَعْ وَجَهْلٌ لَا يَضُرْ. I'm going to paraphrase here, and if I translate this in my humble translation, Nabi alayhi salam said, if you know this, so what? And if you don't know it, so what? That's my paraphrasing, right? If you know it, so what? In ana lam afuz bi muradi sa'yi wa kam min hasratin tahta turabi. If I didn't accomplish my material object, so what? Those who got it are also under the sand, and those who didn't get it are also under the sand. So if you knew the score before me, how many a youth will pay double the price for a phone just so that I'm the first to flash it? Just so that I'm, have we lost our sanity to that extent? So anyway, the beauty of the Quran. When the Quran Kareem was recited, amongst the great people that were moved by the Quran was Walid bin Mughira. Walid bin Mughira was the man who was envied by all, Rayhanatu Quraysh. He was the fragrance of the Quraysh. He had the economic muscle, his gardens stretched out from Makkah right till Taif. The Quran refers to him, understand this here. Apart from having wealth, وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا, Allah says his children were around him all the time. That makes us understand, in my humble understanding, may Allah guide me, if you have children, but if your children are absent, is as good as not having children. When the Quran counted his privileges, Allah didn't say he had children. Allah said, وَبَنِينَ شُهُودًا. They were around their father. One elderly uncle I met, he said, Maulana, I don't have children. You know, if I had children, I wouldn't have been working. I say, uncle, revoke your words. You would have been working harder. Baji, you would have been working much harder if you had children. There was a research done that if you want to have a parenting workshop in the present dynamics of the world, keeping the present demographics, it would be in your interest to call the grandparents for that workshop more than the biological parents. Because they have become the new custodians, the new caregivers, and the new guardians to these children. Because they still have those values and those, that's my blood, man. Whatever happens, you know what, I can't see my child being thrown in the gutters. So that's the new world. That's the new world if you want to raise them. That is why somebody said in the English language, it is very easy to become a father, yet extremely difficult to be a father. It is very, very easy to become a father. Some don't even realize it, Allah forbid, and they become him. But it is extremely difficult to be a father. So anyway, Rayhanatu Quraysh, Banina Shuhuda, he had his children around him. Everything was going well for this man. He one day listens to the Quran, and I call upon these young boys. I'm asking you, I know them personally. You know, I got memories of walking into class one and teaching Fayyad Alif Ba. And I used to even give them 50, 20 rand. I don't know if they got it still. The same with Ramiz. I remember Dr. Ibrahim, may Allah reward him. One day I was sitting, maybe it was 2000 and it was the old Musalla and he had just come into the area and our door was broken there. And he came and he offered his services and I was teaching here and I said, mashallah, who's this brother here and he's taking care? May Allah give him barakat in his ilm. I'm not attributing anything to my dua or anything. But these are memories we've seen these children walk in and today to see, mashallah, they carry in the Quran is really great. I've heard Hazrat Mufti Razaul Haq Sahab Daman Barakatuhum saying often, and I've quoted it in many of my humble talks, that really ask yourself a question. Ask yourself a simple question. What is it? You think I'm calculated, I'm measured, I'm skilled, I'm competent, I have diplomas, I have degrees, I have testimonies. But Allah hasn't allowed me to memorize one Yasin properly. And this boy, careless, hey, don't leave the keys with him. I'd never trust these ladies. But Allah has trusted him with the Quran. Allah has trusted him with the Quran. وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ وَبِالْحَقِّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ وَبِالْحَقِّ نَزَلْ Allah said, as I sent it down, that is how it has reached you. So, Walid bin Mughira, he listens to the Quran being recited. And he has a profound impact on his heart. That is the beauty of the Quran. If it is read correctly and presented in the correct manner, it has to penetrate the heart. It has to penetrate the heart. The hadith of Bukhari Sharif, which I commonly quote, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leaving Makkah because of the hostility in Makkah, and then he got to the borders and he got to Barqul Ghamad where he met Ibn al-Daghina. And Ibn al-Daghina said, أَيْنَ أَنْتَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ فَإِنَّ مِثْلَكَ لَا يَخْرُجْ وَلَا يُخْرَجْ Understand how a Muslim coexisted with fellow non-Muslims. Understand the profoundness of his character. So Abu Bakr is leaving Makkah due to the hostility in Makkah. He says, no, I mean, this is not a place to live here. Let me move on where I can preserve my deen. He meets a prominent, affluent, high-profile non-Muslim at the borders. He intercepts Abu Bakr and he says, Abu Bakr, where are you going to? He says, no, really, man. Makkah, it's gone very difficult. And I'd rather go freely and worship my Allah properly. So Ibn al-Daghina says, no. If you leave Makkah, we Meccans won't have a face in society ever again. People will say, how can you lose a man like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Please to save my honor, to preserve my dignity, I extend my amnesty to you. You come back and you stay in Makkah. Today, if you decide to leave, you think your non-Muslim will be crying or he'll be clapping hands. Good riddance to Mr. Muhammad. It's better he's gone. The fellow non-Muslims made a petition in Makkah that we cannot lose the talent of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Leave alone the Muslims. What was the richness of his caliber, the impeccable character? So he brings him back. Long story short, it's in Bukhari Sharif. He gathers the people. He said, I intercepted the man. How can you expel a man like Abu Bakr? What did they say to him? They said, "Inna nakhsha an yaftina nisa'ana wa abna'ana. Mur Aba Bakrin faly'abud rabbahu fi darihi. Inna Aba Bakrin rajulan bakka'a la yamliku 'aynayhi idha qara' al-Qur'an." You know, Abu Bakr, we don't have a bone to pick with the man. He's a great man. There's only one thing. When this man sits outside in his veranda and he starts reading Quran, on multiple occasions we've seen our youth and our women flocking there and crying over the man, the manner he reads Quran. And then they come home and they say, no, we're not happy with your religion. We want to accept the religion of Abu Bakr. So this man is subtly reverting and converting the whole of Makkah. Ask the man, worship his Allah freely in his house, and he can live in Makkah, and we've got no issues with him. What was the manner in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and I'm asking my young boy, let it not be that you take this Quran in your heart today, and you the very one that tells your dad, buy this movie and let's watch this film tomorrow. I'm afraid then you have really brought into disreputation the huffaz of deen. You've brought an insult to the entire fraternity. Understand what you are holding in your bosom. Appreciate the colossal nature. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeel. Qawlan thaqeel. This is not light. This is not trivial. This is not insignificant. Respect the richness of this word. لا ينبغي لحامل القرآن أن يلهو مع من يلهو وأن يلغو مع من يلغو. We cannot find you chilling at the corner as the average youth chills. We cannot find you smoking on the streets as the average youth smokes. And I'm not condoning it for the general, but there has to be a mark of distinction. There has to be a mark of segregation, the manner in which you carry yourself. So tell Abu Bakr to worship Allah privately. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, okay, I'll do it. For a few days, Abu Bakr read Quran softly, but you know, there is this bubble that is bursting, and it's just brimming inside. May Allah make our youth like that. We are entering into a real critical time. The man who will take on the fitna of Dajjal, the man who will take on the fitna of Dajjal, which will be the supreme fitna of the time, the hadith says, Shabun mumtali'un shababa. You know what a fitna Dajjal will be? You know what a supreme terror this will be? He will come to a person and say, you believe in my powers. He says, of course I believe in you. He'll point to the sky, water will come. He'll point to the earth, vegetation will grow. He'll point to the cattle, it will give off the best produce it ever gave. Accepting his message will be inviting instant apparent prosperity. Mark the choice of words. Instant apparent, apparent. That's the key word, we need to highlight it. Denying his message will be inviting instant apparent ruination and destruction. And many of us have this deception. No, no, you know, when I see Dajjal, I just look, oh, you got the one eye. You must run from. So my brother, when the man comes and dangles the interest deal before you, you don't tell him, you know what, you that businessman, that banking man, my Nabi warned me about interest. I must stay clean from you. No, no, now you fall prey to it. When Nabi alayhi salam, the hadith is in Mishkat, second volume, when Nabi alayhi salam told the Sahaba that people will consume alcohol, they said, will they consume it because the warnings won't reach them? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Yusammunaha bighayri ismiha fayastahillunaha. They will know everything is forbidden. They will tamper with the wording. They will manipulate the wording. They will say it's not intoxicants, it's tranquilizers. It's tranquilizers. Sahaba couldn't comprehend. The narration is in Hayat al-Sahaba in the Battle of Qadisiyah. Usib al-Mu'adhinu yawm al-Qadisiyah. The Mu'adhin was martyred in the Battle of Qadisiyah. So now, they said, now we need to give Adhan. Adhan, well, anybody can give Adhan. Come, we've got to do quickly, come in. Whoever, come. Let a lighty give, come, quickly. For Sahaba, Adhan. Nabi alayhi salam made a dua. Allahumma ghfir lil mu'adhinin. Allahumma ghfir lil mu'adhinin. Allahumma ghfir lil mu'adhinin. Oh Allah, you forgive the mu'adhins of my ummah. Allah, you forgive the mu'adhins of my ummah. Sayyidina Umar held Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hand. He said, O Nabi of Allah, don't make too much dua for them. Because if you'll make one more dua, after your death, we will take out our swords. And we'll say, if you give azan, I'll kill you. And he'll tell me, if you give azan, I'll kill you. We will fight over your dua and draw swords to give azan. Look at the thinking of Sahaba. Taraktana ya Rasulallah wa nahnu najtalidu ala al-adhani bis-suyuf. Azan, my Nabi made dua, let me give azan quickly so I can be forgiven. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, Umar, you considering those after you as good as you, that's going to be another era altogether. Umar, that's now, that's you will fight. Must I tell you what will happen afterwards? يَتْرُكُونَ الْأَذَانَ عَلَىٰ ضُعَفَائِهِمْ وَتِلْكَ لُحُومٌ حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. Umar, today you look for the best, a time will come, they'll look for the worst to give adhan. وَتِلْكَ لُحُومٌ حَرَّمَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. Coming back to it, time is running out. Reciting the Qur'an, and with that incident of Ibn Daghna, I'll come back to Walid, whatever Allah puts in my mind, I know time is short. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu recites Qur'an. I was saying the youth, we are into a very vulnerable time. When the fitna of Dajjal will come, the man who will challenge the fitna of Dajjal, the hadith says, it will be a young boy in the prime of his youth, where his abilities will be kicking to optimum level. The urge will be hitting the roof. The wallet is full with money. That is why Yazid ibn Maysara used to say, Allah says, أَيُّهَا الشَّابْ أَتَّارِكُ شَهْوَتَهُ لِي أَلْمُتَبَذِّلُ شَبَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي أَنْتَ عِنْدِي كَبَعْضِ مَلَائِكَتِي. أَيُّهَا الشَّابْ, O young man, المتبذل شبابه من أجلي, who channels his youth, his resources, his talent, his mind in terms of good. أنت عندي كبعض ملائكتي. Allah says, young boy, you revive the sunnah, dress as a good Muslim, recite your Quran, respect your parents, and you and my celestial creation that are worshiping me from the day I created, you are on par in terms of virtue. You are equal in terms of virtue. So this is the talent of the youth. Shabun mumtali'un shababa, brimming with youth. Anyway, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu starts reciting Quran a little while softly, but then how long can you suppress the truth? May Allah give us that zeal. May Allah give us that fever. May Allah give us that drive. Thumma bada li Abi Bakrin. Then Abu Bakr starts reading Quran. And that's what we want at home. The average home today has become a hotel. Everybody checks in at his own time and checks out at his own time. By when your brother, he's got his own times. He's got his own campus hours, he's got his own times. We don't meet much. In the weekends we get together. I went to one brother's house, I see his house is on sale. I said, you selling the house? He said, there's some rooms in the house I visit once a year. There's some rooms I visit once a year. How am I going to give hisab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We need to be circumspect and we need to think hard. Then Abu Bakr started reciting Quran again. So they came to Ibn Daghina. They said, Ajarna Aba Bakrin Bijiwarik. We respected Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu because of the amnesty you gave him. But now the man has exceeded this and is reading Quran. I come at home, my wife is gone. I get looking, yeah, she's listening to Abu Bakr reading Quran. She's listening to Abu Bakr reading Quran. And then what has happened? So he comes to Abu Ibn Daghina. He said, don't put me in this difficulty. Don't put me in this dilemma. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, listen, Ibn Daghina, at the onset, I didn't ask for your amnesty as a gesture, you extended it. فَإِنِّي أَرُدُّ إِلَيْكَ جِوَارَكُ وَأَرْضَى بِجِوَارِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَإِنِّي You can take your amnesty and go back. I'm not under your care. I've abrogated it. I've terminated it. I'm under the care of Allah. But don't ask me to suppress my emotions when reading Quran. It's uncontrollable. I just cry. May Allah make that a reality, that love, that attachment, that bond for the Quran, that we read it, it becomes intrinsic to us. It becomes inherent to us. So coming back to this incident of Walid bin Mughira, he listens to the Quran. It has a profound effect on his life. And what does Walid bin Mughira say? He said, Wallahi inna lahu la halawa, wa inna alayhi la talawa, wa inna a'lahu la muthmir, wa inna asfalahu la mughdiq, wa innahu la ya'lu wa ma yu'la alayhi. Now I beg for your undivided attention because I want to bring you on board in my thinking pattern here. So here's a man who's got the muscle, who's got the strength, who's got the clout, who's got the know-how, who navigates, who dictates, who runs the entire operation. And he makes positive statements regarding the Quran. There's ripple effects across Arabia. Whoops! Did you hear a man like Walid is saying good words about the Quran? The media is on him. The journalists are on him. Now he's making a positive comment and he's open. Wallahi inna lahu lahalawa. This Quran has sweetness. Wa inna alayhi latalawa. This has elegance. وَإِنَّ أَعْلَاهُ لَمُثْمِرُ It's fruit-bearing. وَإِنَّ أَسْفَلَهُ لَمُغْدِقُ It is soothing like the flowing of water. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَعْلُو And it surpasses all speech. وَمَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ And nothing dominates it. Abu Jahl heard about this. He said, did you people hear a man like Walid is now inclining towards the Quran? He is the big boy. If this man becomes a Muslim and the media runs with this, trust me, Arabia is an entire Muslim world tomorrow. So Abu Jahl immediately takes on. And this is what happens. And the youth take this pressure. And I want to speak and touch on this here. The peer pressure is not exclusive to the youth. Every one of us are taking pressure from our peers. Every one of us are taking pressure from our peers. But who are we hanging out? Those that we hang out with, they are the architects of our thinking. They shape our future. So you hang out with this friend, suddenly now, vulgarity has become common on your tongue. Like, wife is, you never used to swear. What's this? Now you're missing a prayer. Now suddenly, during midweek, you're going to play and you're going to do other things. Hang on. Is this life? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, I started looking for friends. I looked at these people. I said, no. These are not good people. فَتَرَكْتُ أَسْفَلَهُمْ لِكَثْرَةِ شَرِّهِ وَتَرَكْتُ أَعْلَاهُمْ لِقِلَّةِ خَيْرِهِ I thought these were good people, so I started staying with them. Then I said, I got a stench, man. This guy is dealing in haram, dealing and wheeling, operating, doing everything unlawful, illegal. Openly, the man is doing wrong. Openly, there's womanizing. Openly, there's haram. I said, no. You know what? I need to part with the world. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, Salamun ala dunya idha lam yakun fiha sadiqun saduqun sadiqul wa'di munsifa. If I can't find a friend who brings me close to Allah, I'm happy to live alone and die alone than befriending someone who takes me away from Allah. I'm happy. Really? It's okay. No problem. You won't have friends in society? Never mind. What does the Quran say?
إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ.
Your friend is Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا غَيْرَ رَبِّي لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. And I'm really harping on this, my brothers, because I see the best of people. Allah guide me first. I'm in no position of seniority to advocate any form of innocence of my part. But the best of people get caught up in a web, get involved because of those with whom we associate. And they tend to shape our thinking. They tend to define our aspirations. They tend to define our ambitions in life.
So Imam Shafi said, I said, no, I don't want to hang around with these people because I'm getting very negative influence from them.
So then I said, let me go across the road and I'll meet some good people. When I went to meet the so-called good, I realized the only good about them was they didn't have the bad of the others. So I'm not getting any positive message there. The only thing I'm not getting is I'm not getting vulgarity. But in terms of praying, no. They don't have omission, excluding the wrong, or maybe they have excluding the wrong, but there's no commission, there's no performance of good deeds.
فَتَرَكْتُ أَسْفَلَهُمْ لِكَثْرَةِ شَرِّهِ.
I kept away from the wicked because of the excessive evil.
وَتَرَكْتُ أَعْلَاهُمْ.
And I abstained from the perceived good people because of the absence of good in them. I said, what's the good? So Walid has heard the Quran. Abu Jahl said, wait, I will go and speak to him. I will go and speak to him. He comes to him and he says to him, comes and mounts pressure on him. He says, إِنَّ قَوْمًا يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَجْمَعُوا لَكَ مَالًا. There is a collection drive for Walid. You know, they know which buttons to press, which candy to dangle, which bait to throw. So listen, there's a collection drive here. The man Walid, the prominent, wealthy, affluent, yeah, he's like a pauper, he's begging money. He's going to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's gathering because he needs money. So he knows which buttons to provoke and anger him. So Walid said, what do you mean I need money? I don't need money. Why must I have money? I've got enough. Wallahi laqad alimat Quraysh anni min aktariha mala. The Quraysh knows till they die they won't be able to accumulate my money. He said, but then you saying that this man is good and his Quran is profound. Walid, a man like you, if you say this here, you know what the effects of this will be. So they have a private meeting. But what WikiLeaks leaked it out. This was supposed to be between two people only, two high profile. The two giants of the world are speaking. Those who have the muscle and the clout. What's the discussion in private door meeting? About the Quran. So Abu Jahl is telling him, you are praising the Quran. So Walid bin Mughira said, let's be honest, let's be accurate, let's be candid. The Quran is great, right? Let's call a spade a spade. Let's say the truth. The truth is the truth. This man's words are amazing. So this is the typical manipulation which we see today. Abu Jahl said to him, what you say is the truth, but the media won't buy that statement from you. I'm obviously paraphrasing here. They're not going to accept this from you. So now you decide. And these are the words, and many a youth and many a people fall at this juncture. May Allah hold us. May Allah grip our hand and guide us. Nabi alayhi salam said, وَخُذْ بِنَاصِيَتِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Allah hold me by my forelock and take me towards obedience. Abu Jahl said to him, Walid, you are at liberty to love the Quran and revert to Islam, but then you lose your social standing today. You no more the blue-eyed boy. We no more revere you. We no more rally around you. We no more pride ourselves with you. Or you denounce this. You denounce this Quran. You refute this Quran. And we reinstate you. Now how often doesn't this happen amongst us and our peers? And we come under this pressure. And the Quran says, he's intimidated. If I may sketch an image. Years will eat. He openly says the Quran is great. He comes under pressure from his friends. Don't worry, you're not the first Hafiz to club, man. Many Hufaz have club. Come Ramadan, وَتَكُونُوا مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. You make tawbah and you sort out. You make tawbah and you sort out. Many Hufaz have done it. You're talking of Hufaz. I know of people who even know Arabic, my brother. So these are the type of negativity that gets thrown in. And the young boy now, suddenly his legs start slipping. So Walid is sitting there, he's got everything going for him, he's intimidated by those around him, and the Quran says he puts his thinking cap on, in my humble explanation. But the Quran says flawed was his thinking process. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ ثُمَّ نَذَرْ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَسَرْ فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرْ. May Allah save us. Here is a man who said, I want to change my life. I need to give up this evil company. I want to embrace the Quran. He succumbs to the pressure of those around him. Now understand. Understand the pressure on him. The thinking cap is on. Abu Jahl is there. The media is around him. They want to intercept. I'm just creating it and elevating it to present day terminology. And the Quran says he rotates his gaze. He's reading the body language. And everybody's like, you know what? Our hopes are on you. Our hopes are on you. And we put in, ثُمَّ نَذَرْ. He rotates his gaze. فَقَدَّرْ. He proportions his thoughts. He calculates. And there is pin drop silence. The journalist, the camera. فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ. How do I translate this? فَقُتِلْ. Woe be to Walid for the statement he made at that time. He will regret it forever and ever and ever. He will never, imagine you had accepted Islam. The Quran speaks about the regret of that kafir who never became a Muslim, when he will see how it will rescue those who recited the kalima. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. When the dwellers of hell from the disbelievers will see the dwellers of hell from this ummah, may Allah save one and all, they will taunt them and say to them, مَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ إِيمَانُكُمْ. So I thought you were a Muslim and your Quran was going to help you. What happened? Tough luck, you also sit in here. This will then provoke the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will order the emancipation and the deliverance of anyone who read the kalima once to be taken out of hell. As they will be taken out, the disbelievers will say, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. Oh, that man only read it once, but ultimately it rescued him. I wish I also said the kalima once in my life. If a man who never uttered it, his regret will know no limits, that I wish I uttered it. Can the words of any language encapsulate the regret of a man who said it and then retracted? Can you imagine what will happen to this man? فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ ثُمَّ نَظَرَ ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَصَرَ فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ. No, no, Abu Jahl, you're right. I actually retract my words. The Quran is not great. I'll hang out with my buddies. I will chill with my colleagues. I'll move around with my cronies. فَرْتَجَّ النَّادِي فَرَحَا. Now there was a buzz. The media is happy. They finally got the statement. And what's the newspaper next day? Walid maintains his antagonism against Islam. So here this goes across. What happened? All because of peer pressure. So we call upon the youth, the Quran that Allah has given you, hold on to this Quran. I share with you one, two other incidents, and inshallah we try and wrap up. When Nabi alayhi salam had sent Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Maktum to Medina, there's a narration of Ibn Ishaq. Perhaps let me mention that first. Abu Jahl said, لَقَدِ الْتَبَسَ عَلَيْنَا أَمْرُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَوِلْ تَمَسْتُمْ لَنَا رَجُلًا عَالِمًا بِالشِّعْرِ وَالْكَهَانَةِ. The faith of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has left us confused and perplexed. If anybody can master the courage and understand his message, then at least it will make some sense to us. So, فَقَامَ عُتْبَى. عُتْبَى said, I will take care of it. He said, I'll go speak to the man. So عُتْبَى came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, أَنْتَ خَيْرٌ أَمْ هَاشِمْ. Are you better or your grandfather Hashim better? Now many of our children, mashallah, I know, we've been there, they attend very good, professional, academic, skilled, competent institutions, which is awesome and brilliant. But like they say, if you cannot insulate, you must inoculate. And you cannot insulate, so we need to give that respective injections, to give them that correct immune boost, so that they can stand up with respect to defend the cause of Islam. Amongst one of the great people, Iyas bin Muawiyah, he was attending a non-Muslim school. So one day he was sitting in the class when the teacher and the fellow non-Muslim started mocking at one of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's the prohibition of alcohol. So he said, you know, I don't understand the Muslims. They say alcohol is forbidden, yet they are fine with the individual ingredients of alcohol. If you ask them water, they said it's awesome. If you ask them grape, they say it's brilliant. If you ask them sugar, they say it's awesome. So the individual ingredients are perfectly fine, but when you put it together, they have an objection, and they have in a good go. Our faith is so weak, when we hear things like this, Allah forbid, we start saying, hey, you know what, that sounds right. That does sound right, that makes sense. You know what, he got me thinking. My ustad never ever told me this. I was never taught this here. Individually, yeah, well, grape juice is fine. This is awesome. And put it together. Then you say it's haram. What's the logic behind this here? But subhanAllah, this was a man who was inoculated. This is a man whose self-esteem was on par. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. The conviction of my faith, to assert yourself, to have that understanding that Allah has given me the best of all things, the greatest of all legacies. So he said, can I come forward, teacher, and in a very dignified way, can I answer? He said, please do come. He said, لَوْ أَخَذْتُ كَفًّا مِمَّا فَضَرَبْتُكَ بِهِ أَكَانَ يُوجِعُكَ. If I take water and I sprinkle it on you, would it hurt you? He said, no, it will just moisten me, it won't hurt me. لَوْ أَخَذْتُ كَفًّا مِنْ تُرَابٍ. If I take some sand and I sprinkle it on you, it will be a bit kind of dusty, but it won't obviously hurt me in any way. لَوْ أَخَذْتُ كَفًّا مِنْ تِبْنِ. If I take some straw and I hurl it towards you, no, I mean, it's just going to nip me, it's just going to nudge me, it's not going to hurt me. Fair enough. Let me put the three ingredients together. Put it through a baking process and have a solid brick and then hurl that brick towards you. أَكَانَ يُوجِعُكَ وَقَدْ كَانَ يَقْتُلُنِي. It might just not hurt me, it can prove fatal and claim my life. He said, exactly the Quran is saying, drink water, drink as much as you want. Drink, grape juice, it's wonderful. But when you put it together, it ferments, it matures, and it destroys you. This boy's measured interaction and his calculation brought the reversion of that class into Iman. If only our youth can stand up, these young boys, and we are not averse. Let's have things in place here. We are not averse to pursuing of the academics. That's vital, that's integral, and we need to engage on all levels. And we need our youth to be empowered. But listen, go in there with the correct understanding. Go in there with the richness of the legacy that you carried. Maulana Umar Saab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when we send jamaats from India to America, we send those that when they go there, water comes in their eyes and not in their mouths. When they look at the appalling conditions, they pity the creation. I've met people working three shifts. My brother, like, when do you sleep? What life is there? People who go and see the reverse side, the flip side, and not the glamorous side. So we send people. We want you to go out, my brother, not with your eyes popping out at what the world has to give you. Allah has given you everything. And the Quran said it. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّغْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِّنْهُمْ. My young boy, you got the Quran. You have insulted the Quran. You have dishonored the Quran. You have violated the Quran. If your eyes are jumping for any material thing around the world, you have dishonored the gift Allah has given you. So here comes Utbah. He comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Anta khayrun am Hashimun. Are you better or your grandfather Hashim? Nabi alayhi salam is quiet, silent. He said, Anta khayrun am Abdul Muttalib. Are you better or your grandfather? Nabi alayhi salam is silent. Two, three times he asked, Nabi alayhi salam is silent. Then he says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and how often today the world is putting this before us, and may Allah save us, what they say, scholars for dollars. Scholars for dollars, because this is what has been put before us, tempt us, lure us, invite us. And I'm not saying me, I'm a member perceived, but I don't have any ilm. In kunta innama turidu bima ji'ta min hadhal amri malan jama'na laka min amwalina hatta takuna aghna quraishin mala. Young boy, come, I will show you a deal. I'll give you the money that nobody has ever offered you. You will be the most affluent, the most wealthy. In kunta turidu bihi sharafan sawwadnak. In kunta turidu bihi mulkan mallaknak. In kana innama bikal ba'a fakhtar ayya nisa'i quraish shi'ta falnuzawwijka 'ashra. We'll give you everything you want. We will divorce the most beautiful woman for you to enjoy. How many a youth have fallen on this net? How many a youth have collapsed? Huh? Min fitnatin niswani kam ya'sil fata amral ilahi. Min fitnatin niswani kam ya'sil fata amral ilahi bita'ati shaytani wa qabilun lawlahunna lam yaqtul akhahu wama walama radha bidhulli wal usyani wa bihi an-nasara li ibni ya'qub yusufu fima hakahu Allahu fil qur'ani how many talented people has slipped in the wave of immorality, in the scourge of infidelity. It has paralyzed the best of homes. It has crippled the most stable of homes. It has infiltrated the most dignified of homes. Don't lose your Quran. Remember, my brother, it is easy to become a hafiz, difficult to remain a hafiz. It is easy to get married. You know how difficult it is to remain married. I don't have to tell you, my brother, how difficult is it to remain married. To get married, it's the easiest thing. Sit down and nikah is performed. But to remain married, the youngster asks his dad, "Dad, what does it cost to get married?" "My boy, I'm still paying. I'm still paying." Who knows what it costs to get married? It never ends. To become a hafiz is easy, my brother. It's easy. So they say this woman was just, you know, busy frying her egg, and the husband comes and he intervenes and he butts in. And he says, no, I want it sunny but runny. I want it sunny but runny. It's like, okay, I'll do it. Okay, you add in too much oil. Okay, I'll add less oil. Make sure you put salt, I'll take care of that. After a little while, you want to back off? I know how to fry eggs. No, I just want you to know how it feels when I'm driving. My brother, to memorize the Quran might not be easy, but surely easier. Easier between the two. But to preserve this Quran, I cannot go to those places. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Look at this ayah. Oh, the Quran. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu used to say, إِنِّي لَآتِي عَلَى الْآيَةِ فَأَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا عَلِمُوا مِثْلَ الَّذِي أَعْلَمُ. I'll read a verse of the Quran, and I'll get so engrossed in it, my heart screams out, Allah, I wish the whole world can leave whatever they're doing and they can come here and listen to this verse and understand it like how I'm understanding it. Today we're so riveted to sports. One brother was saying, we went in Gersh, we went to a house, there were some finals going on. He said, okay, no, I'll listen to your message, but come see this last goal. No, my brother. وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا لِي أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى النَّجَاةِ وَتَدْعُونَنِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا لِي أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى النَّجَاةِ وَتَدْعُونَنِي إِلَى النَّارِ. How do I transmit the pain of this mardi mu'min, this rajulun mu'min? He said to his nation, but like, hang on, man. I'm trying to call you to Allah, you're calling me to hell. I'm not saying, you know, Nana, you say that. I'm saying, watching it, that's a separate topic. I'm saying, understand, the man comes to your door to call you to deen, and you like, back off and listen to this here. So what did Ibn Abbas say? إِنِّي لَآتِي عَلَى الْآيَةِ. I come to a verse, I want the whole world to understand this ayah. This is the beauty of Quran. And we hope that these young boys will inspire our other children in this community. I want to end with another incident. Time is running out. Hazrat Mufti Shabir Sahib will give few words of nasihat, inshallah, and then the completion and the dua as well. Amongst the two messengers of Quran that the Prophet ﷺ had sent to Medina, one was Abdullah ibn Maktum and one was Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu. Long story short, when they came to Medina Munawwara, people started opposing them. These boys are reading Quran, they're reading Quran everywhere. You know how nice it would be, you see a young child, unfortunately today he's got that earphones, wherever he's sitting, that very same boy, if he has that Quran with him, and I appeal to you, my brother, read the Quran in a Quranic form. Yes, if you're on travel and then you have it in an electronic form, this is my humble thinking, then that's fine. But wherever possible, hold the word of Allah. Hold the word of Allah. In Kanzul Ummal, I read a narration, Man adama an-nadra fil mushaf mutti'a bihi. Mutti'a bihi. The one who looks at the Quran, feels the Quran, touches the Quran, there's a passion here. Don't disassociate with yourself. There is a special bond when you hold it, you perform wudu. So these things are gradually being taken out. And I'm not denying that technology has its plus factors, but wherever possible, hold the Quran, sit with that respect that has an added level of respect to it. So if these children could have the Quran and move around with the Quran, the beauty would be just something else. Anyway, when these two young boys came to Medina and they started reading Quran, at that time the news got out. So Sa'd bin Mu'adh, who was not a Muslim at that time, he said to Usaid bin Hudayr, go speak to these youngsters. They want to revolutionize this whole place. Everywhere is Quran. We need to sort out this here. So he said, okay, let me go to them. So Usaid bin Hudayr, who was not a Muslim at that time, and after that he goes down in history as one of the greatest ambassadors of Quran, because of the contribution of this young boy reading Quran. So Usaid bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, he comes to Mus'ab ibn Umair. He said, Ma ja'a bikuma. Why have you people come to Medina? Sit in your own place and read Quran. Why are you coming here? What are you doing in Quran here? You could be sitting at an airport doing anything, it's fine. You take out a prayer mat, so can I have a look at your boarding pass, please? Can I have a look at your passport, please? Okay, wait, can you come through? But like if I could be sitting and rotating my gazes on scantily dressed woman that's on board, that's fine. But as soon as I drop my prayer mat and I open my divine book and I'm not harming a soul, suddenly can I see where you're coming in, where you're flying from, how much funds you're carrying? Huh? وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. The only blemish you can find in me is that I believe in Allah. And Imam Shafi said, if that's a blemish you find in me, I'm going to tell you, I pride myself with that blemish. لَإِنْ كَانَ ذَنْبِي حُبَّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ فَذَلِكَ ذَنْبٌ لَسْتُ عَنْهُ أَتُوبُ. So he said, listen, why don't you listen to my Quran? أَوَلَا تَجْلِسْ فَتَسْمَعْ إِنْ رَضِيتَ أَمْرًا قَبِلْتَهُ وَإِنْ كَرِهْتَهُ كَفَفْنَا عَنْكَ مَا تَكْرَهُ. Look at this is important. We need to be dignified, we need to be measured, we need to be calculated, we need to exhibit with respect how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam presented himself. Brother, you want to sit down, listen to my Quran. If you like it, good luck. If you don't like it, I'll stop here and here. I can say that when I have the conviction of the truth of my message. I know you will like it. I know. What you say, you go to that restaurant, and if you don't like it, I'll take care of the bill. I'll only say that because I know he's got an appetite and I don't have that money. So I will say that when I have the conviction. You know that brother, he always tells me, he said, Maulana, I don't understand people. I sell chocolates. I tell them, have a chocolate. They say, no, I'm diabetic. I'm selling chocolates. He said, no, mouth man, I would have supported you, but I'm diabetic. I say, okay, it's on the house. He said, okay, I'll make you happy. Oh, uenzawena. Is your pocket diabetic or what? Your body is diabetic. I'm like, brother, I'm selling chocolate. You know, Allah would have supported you, my brother. I'm diabetic, man. You know what? I'm diabetic, you know. I would have supported you, man. I mean, you my Muslim brother. Okay, it's on the house. Never mind, I make you happy. I'm like, what's it? Your pocket diabetic. Anyway, what does he say? If you like it, you listen. If you don't like it, you move on. He said he started reciting Quran before Mus'ab radiallahu anhu completed the Quran. Hatta aslam. He reverted to Islam. He was changed, transformed completely. Now he goes back to Sa'd bin Mu'adh. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says, what's it? Again, very measured. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ بِالرَّجُلَيْنِ بَأْسًا. Listen, these guys are not all that bad. Look at the choice of words. We need diplomacy. We need wisdom. We need to marry the two. Conviction coupled with vision and wisdom. مَا رَأَيْتُ. The guys are not so bad. وَأَخْفَى أَمَامَهُ إِسْلَامَهُ. And he doesn't go and say, I'm blatant, I'm a Muslim. So Sa'd bin Mu'adh says, okay, I'm coming. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu then comes. Again, he says, you people are like this, you wicked, blah, blah, blah. Again, he said, أَوَلَا تَجْلِسْ فَتَسْمَعْ. Listen, brother, sit down, listen. إِن رَضِيْتَ أَمْرًا قَبِلْتَ وَإِن كَرِهْتَ كَفَفْنَا عَنْكَ مَا تَكْرَى. You like the Quran, you read it, you don't like it, you stop. I won't read. فَجَعَلَ مُسْعَبٌ يَقْرَى وَوَجْهُ سَعْدٍ يَشْرُقُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Mus'ab radiallahu anhu started reading, and the face of this believer started glowing with iman. You could see that iman in his face beaming, radiating. He said, Wallah, this is the absolute truth. And both of these people then become the great giants in the field of Quran. I leave you with this advice of this very same Usayd bin Hudayr, who then reverted to Islam. He used to say three things. He said, لو أني أكون كما أكون في حال من أحوال الثلاثة لكنت من أهل الجنة وما شككت في ذلك. Allah gave me such love for Quran that Allah had then given me a spiritual touch and a bond and a passion and a feeling with Quran. And I wish I can permanently preserve three states of spirituality that I have in my life permanently. And if I can have that, then I am optimistic Allah will give me entry into paradise. Unfortunately, I don't have any level. I cannot say, I wish my whole life is like how I'm in Ramadan. It might be comparatively better, but it's not an ideal platform. I cannot say I wish my prayer is like how I am in Makkah, because even there it might be better, but it's not an ideal situation. I told you, and in fact I mentioned it last week when we were in Umrah last year. So the kids were with, we took them to Mina and just showing them all the manasik of Hajj. Now you know people have become photo fanatic today. So here my wife alerted me and she says, now look at this year. You've seen people, alright, take a photo next to the Kaaba, and I'm not condoning it, but this has become the sad reality. There's this family going from every pillar of the devil and taking photos at the Jamara. Like, here I am with the devil. It's like, Ya Allah, Like, have I come here? Are you realizing what you're doing? Are you taking pictures with the devil, with the jamarat, which we're going to be pelting? We'll be hurling the stones and we're taking that. تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّهِ وَأَوْسَاطُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَةِ وَقُرَّاءُهُمْ لِلرِّيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ. We are the living statistics of what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. Usayd ibn Hudayr said, I wish I can be like this all the time. حِينَ أَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَحِينَ أَسْمَعُهُ يُقْرَى. When I read Quran or I listen to someone reading Quran, there must be no interference, no disturbance, there must be silence. I wish I can perpetually maintain and sustain that level of consciousness and spirituality throughout my whole life. Number one. Number two, وَإِذَا شَهِدْتُ خُطْبَةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. When I attend the Friday sermon or any gathering, you will be appalled if you see what happens in the rear of the masjid on a Friday. Leave the children, the adults have lost it. We know the severe warning that while listening to the Jummah khutbah, Sahaba responded to buy their needs and own basic necessities. And the Quran said, وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. They have forsaken you to respond to their needs. And this was not luxuries, this was not offensive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not approve of that practice. And the third thing is, وَإِذَا شَهِدْتُ جَنَازَةً. When I attend a grave, a funeral, I sit silent and I reflect. And I don't talk to anyone. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, وَضَمَّةُ الْقَبْرِ تُنْسِي لَيْلَةَ الْعُرْسِ. وَضَمَّةُ الْقَبْرِ تُنْسِي لَيْلَةَ الْعُرْسِ. The first squeeze of your grave will make you oblivious of all the romantic hugs you ever had in your life. The first squeeze of your grave will make you oblivious. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take our young boys from strength to strength. We congratulate Hafiz Bashir and mashallah to Hafiz Ab, his father, that subhanallah, this is the third generation. Yeah, the boy memorizes the Quran, his father and his grandfather, Hafiz Fayyad's grandfather, with whom we have a lot of respect and family relation. We equally extend our congratulations to Dr. Ibrahim Joseph, his family, mashallah, and Allah has blessed him. His one son is completing today, and the next boy is on the verge of completion. Subhanallah. Allah has blessed him with two sons, and Allah has completed one today, and the next one will be completing very, very soon. This is a great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah allows the memorization of the Quran to come into our homes. Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, when you read the Quran, then even on the letters of the enemies of Allah, Allah gives you reward. If anybody talks of my enemy, like, why are you so insensitive, brother? You know me and him got a bone to pick. You know we don't have a good relation. Why must you talk here in front of me? But if you read Quran, وَقَارُونَ وَفِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ. On every letter of Qarun, you're getting closer to Allah. And who's Qarun? The enemy of Allah. وَفِرْعَوْنَ. On every letter, Fa, Allah gives you 10. Ra, 10. And who's Fir'aun? The man who said he's Allah. Who will reward you on the mention of his enemy's name in the form of Quran other than Allah? You know, the problem with my wife, she knows I don't get along with her brother, but she always talks of a brother. Right? Or vice versa. We can't hear these people's names. Allah mentions their name in the Quran. On every letter, Allah rewards you. Forgive me for the time that I have taken. But honestly, this is a joy for me itself. And I can go down memory lane, and it is so great. And all those that have passed on, I think it would be worth mentioning our Hafiz Minti rahmatullah alayh. Oh, he was one man that stood with us here, and he always would devote time to our young learners at that time. Those of us that would have the early days in mind, when the Musalla was here, and we had 2-3 learners, then he would always avail himself to sit with the Quran. May Allah confer the reward of these boys completion to his blessed soul and all others, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.